Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 123, that's 123, in our year of the Bible, looking at the first book of Chronicles, chapters 13 through 16, we have seen the coronation, the anointing and coronation and celebration of King David, getting him on the throne, and like we saw in Samuel, now that he has made Jerusalem a political center, as well as a military center, it's time to also make it a religious center. Now, one of the things that I want to point out about chapter 13, it's almost kind of neither here nor there. Well, it's kind of here and there, actually, about chapter 13, because there's a terminology shift that happens in chapter 13 that we haven't seen consistently before, which is, okay, so I don't know if you remember the story about how the ark ended up with, remember they were bringing the ark, back to Jerusalem, and it was about to fall off the cart, and so this guy Uzzah came and touched it, and then he died, and then that was a whole thing, and so then they were freaked out about that happening, and so they went and they put it in some guy's yard for like a year or something. I don't know exactly how long. So it's time, and the ark, God blessed that family, not a Gentile family, right? Not an Israelite family. And nonetheless, God blessed them. Anyway, I'm mentioning all that because in chapter 13, the ark of the covenant. Now, what's the covenant that the ark is the covenant of? The covenant between God and Israel, right? But like it's their particular covenant. So it's called the ark meaning the thing that's holding it, of the covenant between God and Israel. Here, in chapter 13, it's referred to as the ark of God. The Ark of God, rather than being referred to as the Ark of the Covenant, which it still is, it's just referred to as the Ark of God, which is a more broad sort of descriptor. I mention that to say, you know, that combined with the fact that God blessed that guy who kept the ark in his yard for a year while everybody else was afraid of it. That there's an openness, that there's a universality. There's less of an isolationism than it might seem at first blush. I mentioned a lot about how the doorkeepers and the temple guards are a big deal in this description of the temple, because influence has got, you know, foreign influences had gotten into their worship. And that's true. But it's also true that the blessing of Israel isn't for Israel by itself. The blessing of Israel is intended to be a blessing for the world. Through Israel, the world is blessed. So there's always going to be a propensity towards that. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal, sort of, right, of which all of these are sort of, you know, partial steps towards. But the ultimate goal is the blessing of the whole world. And so you see in various little places hints of that, or sort of examples of that. Anyway, so chapter 13, you get the Ark of God. It wasn't there for a year. It was there for 3 months. Probably felt like a year. David defeats the Philistines in chapter 14. Two important things that happen there. Each time David inquires of God. Now we saw that earlier in one of the chapters too. Chronicles presents David as this faithful king. And so we've got the Philistines. What are we going to do about them? David inquires of God what to do. And so David's fame spread throughout the land. In 15, the ark is going to be brought back to Jerusalem, and they figure out, or brought to Jerusalem, and they have figured out what went wrong. What went wrong with Uzzah, which we already know from Samuel. So wait a minute, it's the Levites are going to carry the Ark of God. Nobody else, and they're supposed to carry it on the poles with their shoulders. 70 doorkeepers. All of the Levites specified by their clans and their numbers. Then the last thing is a really beautiful part of chapter 16, ministering before the ark. David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. This is chapter 16. And what you see in chapter 16 are, you know, this is a song or a psalm. In fact, it is taken directly from the Psalms, or vice versa, or maybe the Psalms are taken directly from it. A portion of Psalm 105, a portion of Psalm 96, and a portion of Psalm 106. The first third are basically instructions to Israel with these imperative verbs. Do this: give praise, proclaim, make known, sing, tell glory, rejoice, look, seek, remember. All of these sort of imperative verbs that are directed towards Israel. This is what you should do. And then they explain why, because of all the things that God has done for Israel. And then there, verse 23, it shifts. It shifts beyond just Israel and to the nations. So in verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth, declare his glory among the nations. 24, among all peoples. 25, above all gods. 26, gods of the nations. 28, families of nations. 30, all the earth. And so forth. And then actually there in 30, it moves from not only the nations, but indeed the world itself. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound. Let the fields be jubilant. Let the trees of the forest sing. So anyway, kind of a beautiful song of praise for God that David does at this climactic moment of establishing God's presence there in Jerusalem. I know that I've been kind of late on these. Again, I went out of town and I got a little behind schedule, but I'm catching up. I hope that was a little bit helpful. I'll leave it there for today and be back with you tomorrow. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.